This is Brian Forster, and welcome to the Active Investor Podcast, part of Lord Abbett's Investment Conversation Series. In this podcast, we look at what we view are some of the most relevant near-term and longer-term drivers in the markets, as well as strategies that can help investors navigate different challenges. And that can include a wide range of topics, from how risks are evolving to new market dynamics, and then also through a secular lens where some of the big megatrends may be building. And today we're going to talk again about an area we call opportunistic credit, which is a capability that has been growing quickly at Lord Abbett over the last 5 years. And earlier this year, we had Eric Kang on this podcast to talk about how he sees areas of credit opportunity and how he and his team look to take advantage of illiquidity premiums and mispricings in credit. And so today, we're welcoming another portfolio manager from this area, Todd Solomon, who I would say is our resident expert at our firm in an area known as special situations. And we'll dive into what that term means to us in a little bit. I'd also say that Todd has been one of the people at our firm I've talked to most over the past year or so, in part because the way he looks at the world is just really interesting. Maybe at times even a little scary, to be honest, just because he's always looking under the surface to find what might break next. And that can make you think about what other things could go wrong in the economy or other asset classes. But I think our listeners are going to find this discussion fascinating, because the way Todd invests is really unique in that he's trying to find attractive opportunities where the market has maybe misunderstood or oversold something stressed, lock in a secured and senior position, and then make our investors money. That's the goal at a high level, I think. And Todd will probably add some better precision to that definition along the way. So, Todd, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Brian.
Great. And so I'll just add a little bit more color here on Todd's background. He has an MBA from Columbia. He's worked in the financial services industry since 1994. He's worked in investment banking and private placements, but he spent the bulk of his career in fixed income as an investor, and specifically in high yield, bank loans, and distressed investing. And he came to Lord Abbett in 2019 as an investor in our opportunistic credit suite. And as we look at the market environments today, it's kind of strange. Economic data has been coming in stronger than most everyone predicted a year ago, which makes the idea of higher rates for longer probably more likely. And yet the Fed has raised dramatically, and we've not seen the expected slowdown or even recession that was called for. But I think beneath the surface in credit, there are opportunities bubbling up for investors looking for special situations. And again, that's why Todd's here, and that's his specialty. So Todd, before we dive right into all that, maybe you can take a step back, give us a little bit more information on your background, how you got into this very unique and interesting area of fixed income, and then what your focus is here at Lord Abbett.
Great, Brian. And it's, again, great to be here. So I graduated from Columbia Business School and thought I wanted to become an investment banker. And I joined Citigroup in their telecommunications group in the late 90s. And what I saw at Citigroup is a great boom in emerging telecom companies. There was changes to the regulation in the telecom world, and companies could raise capital. Equity markets and high yield markets could not get enough of these growth companies. They're being valued on fiber miles and eyeballs, almost any valuation except cash flows and earnings. Yep. You know, there was a great experience. I learned how deals get done, how boards think, and how growing companies can raise capital. But in 2000, the game came to an end. And these emerging telecom companies that I once was doing IPOs and M&A and high yield for now turned into rescue financings and restructurings. You know, you've been in the business a really long time when history starts to repeat itself. And what happened with the emerging telecom names in 2000 is extraordinarily reminiscent of the profitless telecom blow-up that we just had in 2021. You know, but while I was there, I realized that I would much prefer to invest in these companies than execute transactions for them. So I transitioned to the buy side and joined a firm by the name of Triage Capital Management. Triage was run by a gentleman, Leon Frankel, And I worked at Triage during the 2003-2004 cycle. And we invested as the firm's name describes. We went long companies we thought that would survive, and we shorted companies that we thought would not. Leon taught me how to cut through the noise, figure out what the companies are going to look like on the other side, what the end game is, how to make money, how to select the best risk-reward investment in a capital structure. This was a great experience. I then joined a firm by the name of Halcyon Capital Management. This was the traditional event-driven hedge fund. John Beta ran the firm at the time. We had a merger arbitrage strategy, special situations, and distressed. The one thing that could really highlight from this experience is that risk management was paramount. Enormous time was spent thinking about what could go wrong. How can you lose money? What is the downside? And then how do you position size that in a portfolio construction risk management framework? That also was a great experience. I was an equity partner. I sat on our investment committee, our risk committee, and I was a portfolio manager for several of our strategies. Both of these experiences on the buy side are really invaluable for me, my experience, and what I'm trying to do here at Lord Abbett. Mm-hmm. So I joined Lord Abbett 4 years ago, and I am lead portfolio manager for our Special Situations Income Fund, and I sit on our investment council for our Credit Opportunities Fund. And I also manage our distress investments throughout the department. It's great to be here.
All right. So we've said this term a few times now here. I think it's time to finally define what a special situation is. I think that term probably has different meanings for different people or different investors. So how do you define what a special situation is?
Sure. Well, special situations are investment opportunities in companies that have businesses or capital structures that are highly complex or impacted by dislocations in their industry or in the market. These situations are hard to analyze and often misunderstood, and that creates the mispriced debt that we can take advantage of.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Maybe you can give me a couple of examples, though, of different categories of special situations.
Brian, one area I'd love to talk about is hard to analyze capital structures. During the zero rate environment that we lived in for so long, leveraged buyout shops or LBO shops or corporate issuers were able to issue increasing amount of debt, often multi-layer capital structures, almost like a multi-layer cake. We like to lump this together in a category that we call complex capital structures. It's really hard to understand the priorities and the corporate organizational chart where different debt lies. You really need to read the documents and dig in deep. And maybe you can find a good business where the capital structure is so confusing that results in the bank debt or bonds of that issuer trading very cheap, where we can generate excess returns. Or in a capital structure where we can find a bond that we think is going to get taken out first. This bond may be being bought by the company in the open market, where our returns would jump if our investment thesis is correct. A second area we like to lump together is business complexity. These are misunderstood corporate actions that companies are going through that creates mispricings. For example, if a company is selling a division, it's going to raise a bunch of cash. What are they going to do with that cash? Are they going to take out their bonds? Are they going to delever? They may be involved in M&A, either buying a business or maybe they're a target themselves. Finally, it could be that the business is expanding, either rolling out restaurants across the United States or opening up another casino, expanding a product line. Often the impact of these changes are misunderstood. And let me give you a specific example that we have invested in. We invested in a gaming company that had a number of properties that were up and running successfully. The company wanted to open a new casino in a new geographic location. They went out and raised secured debt to fund that construction. When we got involved in the company, if you took a snapshot of the company at that moment, it looked very levered, existing cash flow with a lot of debt. Instead of looking through the rearview mirror of the car and look forward through the front windshield, you could see that there would be a new casino, cash flows would double, this credit would materially improve, and our investment thesis would be that that would result in the revaluation of the instrument that we purchased. Another area that we are extraordinarily excited about, particularly in the coming years, is restructuring opportunities or restructuring complexity. These are situations where companies are either look like they may go into a restructuring or a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, are in bankruptcy, or have emerged from a restructuring. This requires specific know-how, distress expertise, the ability to understand and how to value different instruments and the process and extract value out of the distress process. You know, often, as these companies get into a situation where they have to restructure, the rating agencies drop their ratings. And as it goes from a double B to a single B to triple C, and even a D for default, many funds that have rule-based triggers like CLOs or BDCs and other type structures, they have limitations on the amount of debt that is rated triple C or D, or it's an investor that just does not want to own a defaulted instrument. The result is unnatural sellers. These sellers don't care about price because they cannot own it. This creates good entry points for these types of situations. But we're finding a lot of opportunities today in companies that have gone through the restructurings and have come out on the other side with a cleaner balance sheet.
Okay, those are some great examples. I almost picture you and your team like up late at night with lights on and stacks of legal papers that no one else has the patience or interest to read and just kind of finding great opportunities. Now that we have that background, let's dig in a little to what I was discussing earlier in the intro, and that's the market environment today, and specifically around this dramatically higher interest rate environment from where we were a couple of years ago. So higher cost of capital, more pressure on margins, and we're seeing a weakening outlook for GDP and a tighter lending environment. So how is that impacting corporate issuers today?
That's a great question and something that I think about every day. If we look back on the year, we've had enormous volatility in both rates and spreads. Rates have moved up and down over 60 basis points. The 10-year has moved up and down over 60 basis points five times and now is reaching over a 15-year high. And credit spreads have moved up and down over 60 basis points four times. And their spreads are currently at year-to-date wides. The cost to borrow for levered corporate issuers is going up. That's obvious. Credit standards are tightening. The impact is that their interest expense is going to be much higher for longer, reducing free cash flow, impacting their businesses, impacting their ability to invest in their businesses. If they have upcoming maturities, it will significantly impact their ability to refinance their debt, if they can refinance their debt. The key point, I think, is that higher rates, wider spreads, higher borrowing costs, and as you mentioned, pressure from margins from tight labor markets, wage pressures, rising energy costs, persistent supply chain issues, you know, top-line issues with questionable consumer resilience or industry challenges, and really just general economic uncertainty. This entire environment creates more uncertainty, and it makes it harder for these businesses to operate in this ever-changing environment.
And that's your wheelhouse.
And that's my wheelhouse. So the greater the number of companies that feel this pressure, the larger the opportunity set of special situations there is to potentially invest in. We don't have to invest in them all. We can pick and choose those ideas that we think are most mispriced. But as uncertainty grows, investors demand higher returns to invest in those uncertain environments. Higher returns for situations that are harder to understand, hard to analyze. Investors would much prefer just to look at something easy for a company that is having no problems. Again, at the end, what this equates to is just a growing set of special situations with higher return opportunities for us to pick and choose from.
All right, those sound like some really interesting areas and probably areas that you can make a lot of money in, but probably also areas where things could go very wrong. So kind of a don't try this at home, good to hire an active manager. So how do you and your team then think about managing risk in this space?
That's a good question. You know, I'm a glass half empty guy, so I am always thinking about what could go wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ask my kids, that they don't love the fact that I'm a half empty, glass half empty guy. But, you know, the most important thing in running a portfolio is managing risk and portfolio construction. And that starts with each credit. We build our portfolios from a bottoms up perspective. And we look at each investment, how much money we can make, but equally, and we spend more time on how much money we can lose. And while we look at each situation, and we may find a situation that we like where there's a positive event and potential upside, but when we look at the capital structure, we may not find an instrument, a piece of bank debt or a high-yield bond, that we like the asymmetric return profile, so we pass. We can pick and choose to those investments because we run a relatively concentrated portfolios in our opportunistic credit platform and in the special situations fund. So what I would point to is there, you know, buyers beware. You really need to understand what you own and how much money you can lose. And in particular, when you like a situation, you have to pick the right spot in the capital structure where you can make an attractive return, but you're also protected on the downside. And that's why we tend to focus on top of the capital structure or more of into the secured portion of a company's cap stack. And that the reason there is because when you're secured, you have the contractual right to foreclose on those assets in a bankruptcy. And that right is critical to managing your downside and limiting overall capital loss.
Okay, so, you know, one last question here. And I kind of joked early on that when I talk to you, including right now, it sometimes sounds a little scary since you're always kind of looking for where the stress in the market is. And so my question, and this is a question I think others have when they think about what special situations are or, you know, go as far as distressed, not to say that this is a distress strategy, but stressed, is do you need a major market event like a financial crisis to happen for you to find opportunities that pay off? Like, is it just one environment that works when things are all bad? Or is this something that can do well in most market environments?
And we are finding ideas year after year. You know, in periods of major stress, big dislocations like during COVID or the great financial crisis in 2008, the entire market declines. The good and the bad and the babies are thrown out with the bathwater, and that's the objective. But when there isn't a major market dislocation, there are actually different industries that are going through periods of stress or mini but material dislocations. For example, in this year, we obviously have had rising rates as crushed duration type of assets. In 2022, we had the Ukraine war impacting commodities. Oil hit 120, really helping the energy space. In 2021, we had supply chain disruptions in the auto industry. Restaurants that weren't able to deliver takeout really had problems. 2020, obviously, was COVID. The S&P was down 30%. And we could go year after year and talk about different areas where there's opportunities. And then, you know, we don't have to have bankruptcies. We don't have to have any particular event because we can shift capital around. We can shift capital between different asset classes and different types of interesting special situation investment opportunities. You know, one more that I might just throw out is we had an investment in a mining company that actually went through bankruptcy and fixed its balance sheet, but it had a very complicated capital structure because in order for it to raise the capital during its bankruptcy, the current investors at the time demanded that they take their best mine and segment it out into a separate operating company and issue debt just at that mine secured by the mine's assets. And that piece of debt had covenants, actually really strong covenants, and it trapped all the cash that was being generated in that operating co. But the parent company itself still had a high level of leverage and would really love to get its hands on that cash. Our investment thesis was that as the cash would build at the operating company, the parent would have a greater and greater incentive to take out the debt with the restricted covenant and potentially at its first call price, which was at a significant premium. And so as commodity prices stayed high, cash was continuing to be generated at that entity, and the paper was called at a significant premium so that cash could be released and delever the entire structure.
Good stuff. So I think with that, we can wrap things up. And I'll just say thank you, Todd, for joining the podcast. Some really interesting insights on what's going on in credit and how you think about opportunities and special situations. I definitely look forward to having you back here to give us an update. I hope you come back, join the podcast.
I look forward to that.
Okay, great. Thanks again, Todd. And for listeners wanting to learn more about Lord Abbett's views on the markets, please visit the insights section of lordabbett.com. And we'd also like to hear from our listeners. So if you have any comments about today's podcast or ideas for a future podcast, we welcome your thoughts and email podcasts@lordabbett.com. And so we'll leave it there. This has been the Active Investor Podcast, and thank you for listening.
The U.S. Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States. The federal funds, or Fed funds rate, is the target interest rate set by the Fed at which commercial banks borrow and lend their excess reserves to each other overnight. An interval fund is a type of closed-end fund with shares that do not trade on the secondary market. Interval funds are not required to provide investors with daily liquidity. Rather, they will offer to repurchase a certain percentage of outstanding shares at set periods or intervals throughout the calendar year, often quarterly. A liquidity premium is any form of additional compensation that is required to encourage investment in assets that cannot be easily and efficiently converted into cash at fair market value. Capital structure refers to the amount of debt and/or equity employed by a firm to fund its operations and finance its assets. Spread is the percentage difference in current yields of various classes of fixed income securities versus treasury bonds or another benchmark bond measure.
The credit quality of the securities in a portfolio is assigned by a nationally recognized statistical rating organization, or NSRO, such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, or Fitch, as an indication of an issuer's creditworthiness. Ratings range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, which is the lowest. Bonds rated BBB or above are considered investment grade. Credit ratings BB and below are lower rated securities, or junk bonds. High yielding, non-investment grade bonds, or junk bonds, involve higher risks than investment grade bonds.
The S&P 500 Index is widely regarded as the standard for measuring large cap U.S. stock market performance and includes a representative sample of leading companies in leading industries. Indexes are unmanaged and do not reflect the deduction of fees or expenses and are not available for direct investment. References to interest rate moves are based on Bloomberg data. Mentions of specific companies are for reference purposes only and are not meant to describe the investment merits of, or potential, or actual portfolio changes related to, securities of those companies.
Unless otherwise noted, all discussions are based on U.S. markets and U.S. monetary and fiscal policies. Market forecasts and projections are based on current market conditions and subject to change without notice. Projections should not be considered a guarantee. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbett speaker are those of the speaker as of the date of the broadcast and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market conditions or other conditions, and Lord Abbett disclaims any responsibility to update such views. This material is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice. It is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Neither Lord Abbett nor the Lord Abbett speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered.
None of the information provided should be regarded as a suggestion to engage in or refrain from any investment-related course of action, as neither Lord Abbett nor its affiliates are undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or give advice in a fiduciary capacity.
This broadcast is copyright 2023 of Lord Abbett & Co. LLC, all rights reserved.
This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or in any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor, LLC.